Cult TV Club, and we're watching Cult TV from 20 years ago and before, and we're here with Angus.
Hello.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Baylor.
Hey.
Lisa.
Hello.
Alex.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin, and we're here watching Clone High.
Oh, that is not going to be audible, Jeanette.
Hi. I'll do it again.
Just need to copy that in and paste it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're watching Clone High, and this is Baylor's pick. So what's Clone High, Baylor?
So basically, back in the 1980s, a secret government employees created famous guys and ladies to make amusing genetic copies, and now their clones are sexy teens, and they're gonna make it if they can. Loving, learning, sharing, judging, and we're just gonna watch them laugh and burn.
Oh, so that was describing who's in the show, not who made it then.
That's what the show is. You asked what the show is.
Yeah. That is what the show is.
Explain your question. What the show is. I don't like your suggestion. I don't like the way you put it. You need to do it differently.
So that is the opening theme to Clone High. It basically gives you the rundown of what Clone High is.
Right, okay.
And it literally is that. It's just a whole heap of cloned, famous guys and girls. It's not accurate of or representative in any way of who they were. This is a satire piece. It either takes already existing characteristics of them and pushes it really far, or completely flips and 180s a character so that they no longer are like who they are. However, because of how controversial this show was to even get up and running, it took them about 3 years to get up and running in about the early 2000s. And then by the time that they were actually able to do it, it was getting low ratings, and there was over 100 people in India going on a hunger strike for how Gandhi was portrayed, because he was portrayed with ADHD, which is completely different to how he was. However, it is being picked up again, because in 2019, it got its own official cult following.
Right.
So in 2020, they have decided to revive the series, and this year there's going to be 2 seasons coming out
on
Paramount Plus.
Oh, we just got rid of Paramount Plus.
And we've got a hope that, what is it?
We'll get it back in time for the next Star Trek episodes.
There's Abandoned Pools, who does all the music for it. Just got to hope that Abandoned Pools does the music for this too, because they do a very good
job. So which episode are we watching?
We're going to watch the first episode,
Justin. The first episode. Yep,
because
so we get
I believe
intro.
That the first episode really sets the pace for a TV show. It's the easiest way to make a judgment call on whether a TV show is going to be good or bad.
She's still upset about Babylon 5.
You could have picked any other episode.
I've got to admit, I still said you could get a do-over on that, Jeanette, because that was, I mean, I've already that was our one reminder.
Which episode? Great episode.
It's Londo's Wives.
Soulmates. Oh, okay, because I was thinking of the one where the first time Mr. Morden gets on the station.
Londo's Wives.
Okay.
It is a much better episode. Yeah. It's fun. You still get the general gist of Babylon 5, as well as it being fun.
So the thing is with Babylon 5 that I say is that you fall in love with the characters for starters, and then the story follows. If you don't love the characters, you're going to be half as invested in the story.
Yeah, because I was thinking the episode I was going to pick was the one that started the story a bit.
I was completely not invested in Babylon 5. And then we recorded it on Discord as well, and it was just like, it was all over the place. But look, I mean, that's COVID, but usually if I'm here and we're watching it together, I can tear my hair out and ask the questions and people will give me answers. But I'm sitting there by myself going, what am I watching?
So I watched that episode again with more context and stuff, and I still don't think it was as great. I'm so sorry, Jim, as it was being hyped up to be. I think Londo's Wives would have dragged you in immediately because that's what it did to me. The episodes following it proceeded to make me go, oh God, that's right, this is Babylon 5. But that one episode at least would redeem the entire series, I think. Redeem the one time that we watched it strongly. Anyway.
Ever so often I kind of get a bit like that with Babylon 5 and DS9, and I kind of go, maybe I need to give them another shot. Maybe I need to try. And then
no, don't bother with DS9.
Would you say bother with Babylon 5?
No.
See, Alex and I would.
But anyway, Clone High.
Clone High. So who's watched Clone High? Angus, have you seen it before?
I have seen Clone High, Baylor, and I watched it together. Baylor had seen it several times before, so it was kind of just, I was introduced to it through Baylor, and I really did enjoy it. I thought it was quite funny. It kind of makes fun of those kind of I guess Home and Away, Neighbours, like those sorts of
genre of
movie making. And the people who made Clone High went on to make Total Drama Island, which is a massive parody of things like Survivor and stuff like that.
And the people that created Clone High, if you have seen Scrubs, is the janitor and his wife, Dr. Cox's wife. They are the two people that I believe they're married in real life, and they created this show.
Wow.
They
voice acted No, the creator of Scrubs and Dr. Cox's wife.
And the janitor.
Neil Finn. Is his name? Not Neil Finn.
We're thinking of the right woman. Hang on.
Now you've got me second guessing myself.
Everyone's on the
phone. So Scrubs. So Bill Lawrence is married to the one who plays
Dr. Cox's wife. Bill Lawrence is one of them.
Yeah, Cox's wife is married to Bill Lawrence, who created Scrubs.
Yeah.
And Cougar Town and a whole heap of anything that she's been
in. But the janitor's also in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which one came first?
Clone High, I think.
Before Scrubs?
Yeah, Scrubs was early. When was Scrubs?
Scrubs was
09
or so.
Yeah,
2010.
Were there multiple seasons of this? And
only one series.
Only one series, and about how many episodes?
Eight.
Only about eight episodes, right?
Yeah, eight and to 12.
Are they long episodes? Or
same creator.
20 minutes.
Same creator. Right. So Bill Lawrence, who created Scrubs, also created Clone High, as well as Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who you may know as the people who wrote and created the Lego Movie and the 21 Jump Street reboot and a whole heap of other stuff.
So that went downhill after.
It was a whole heap of other stuff that they... Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Oh, yes, so they did Clone High, then Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, then the Lego Movie, then the 21 Jump Street movies, then Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is very good.
Yeah,
the second one's coming out. Looks really nice.
I'm not into superhero movies. That's got to be my favourite superhero movie of all time.
That one was really
nice.
It was
really good,
yeah.
But yeah, anyway,
that's it.
Everything aside from that, I think it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is that going to have a bit of the feel then, that Clone High, it's early creator of Scrubs and creator of all of those Lego movie feel?
It's not going to have a Lego movie feel at all. It's going to have more of, like Angus said, like the drama sort of thing, but it's being pushed very heavily in like a dramatized sort of way. It also is going to have a lot of teen vibes.
Yep.
So think of like teen drama and then...
Yeah. Which, is Total Drama Island. You said it's not Total Drama Island you like, it's...
Total Drama Rama. Where the toddlers are, I like... playgroup like that, but they do like a lot of bad stuff.
They're like, it's Total Drama Island, but it's when they're little kids. So it's like a little kid version. So it's good for her age group, but I think in another 5 years she'd get into Total Drama Island.
Alex, have you seen this before?
I've seen a few memes, so I know it exists, but I've not actually seen an episode.
No.
Right.
So,
now you're going to watch your first episode.
Yeah, I feel that.
Same for you, Jeanette.
Yeah.
And same for me.
Well, probably with less memes, but...
Lisa, have you seen it? No, the only thing I've heard about Clone High is when you've spoken about it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. And because I remember you were like, oh, you've seen it. This would totally be up your alley. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll get on and watch it and be back after the break.
Pew, pew.
Okay, so that was Clone High we just watched. And Jeanette, what did you think of that?
It probably wasn't my thing.
Not your thing.
No,
you thought that, did you?
I knew it wasn't going to be Jeanette's thing.
I don't know. It's just a style of animation.
The style of animation.
Yeah.
And probably
but you really like Big
Nights,
earlier.
It's the humour.
It's a different type of comedy.
Yeah, it's a different type of comedy.
And what kind of comedy was this then?
It's very American. I sort of like the idea of it, but... yeah, it didn't quite work for me. It's hard to know why. I mean, you can't really explain why you like or dislike something. Mm. Either it works or it doesn't. You know, it lands with you or it doesn't. And sometimes it's not easy to explain why.
Yeah, that's fair.
What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I liked it. I think also Zernis and... this was 2001, wasn't it?
Mm.
At the same time as those teen drama stuff. I never actually watched...
2002,
2003. Yeah, so it's about the same time as all those teen dramas like Dawson's Creek or whatever. So it didn't feel as though it was aping on that kind of interpersonal relationship sort of thing. Having a lot of the silly character-based or slapstick jokes and having it work, but still having enough reality to have the emotional hits. I mean, it's still comedy, but having it land enough to be... So it's not... You're seeing it unseriously. Like, it did feel as though... Yeah, I kind of felt sorry for Joan of Arc there.
I think we were all Joan of Arc.
Is that the first time you've watched that?
It's the first time I've watched it. I thought it would be more broad and silly, but I think it's just realistic enough for the emotional hits to land.
They do a lot of stuff in their episodes that kind of are based very heavily in reality. Like, there's one where they have SATs coming around and Gundy doesn't think that he can do it or that he's ready for it at all, and goes on an imaginary trip with a truck driver. Basically, the truck driver spends the entire time chatting to him, and Gundy's like, wow, you've got some real world wisdom. I want to become a truck driver. And then by the end of the trip, it gets to the end of the episode and the truck driver's like, right, you're ready for your SATs. And Gundy's like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, a lot of it's just basic knowledge, like basic math and stuff like that. And so it goes through all sorts of very interesting things. There's one with Jack Black in it, and they talk about, like, drugs, but it's not drugs, it's raisins. It's a very funny episode. Yeah. It would have been the other episode I would have shown.
I don't know if we talked about it during the episode, but the non-alcoholic beer thing is a Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, it was an episode.
Yeah.
Reminded me of Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. They supplied this beer to a party, but it was non-alcoholic, and everyone was
drunk anyway. Yeah.
Everyone got drunk, yeah.
I thought it was kind of weird that even though that wasn't... Was that any of your teenage issues either? Having the huge parties and everybody was... of trying to get a keg of beer to get drunk on.
It would be like my high school days. If we went to a party that had beer and smoking and things like that, it would just usually be, someone would get it because the age limit's 18.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, in the US, it's 21, so that makes a big difference.
And my high school, it's 18 years old if you've got a adult nearby.
And my high school was like scattered. There was people everywhere. So I tended to, if I went to a party, it was in Gawler with the people I was working with. And then, they would generally be people ranging from 16 to early 20s. So.
I just think, because that's a classic teen drama thing. It's been had everywhere. Mm. Yeah, it's like even though we're not teenagers anymore, unfortunately. Fortunately. We're not teenagers anymore, and we never did that kind of high school stuff that you always see in the teen dramas. It's still enough that we can get onto it.
So I had the situation when I was a teenager, I would have been about 16, and went out, and I was drinking, and I came home tipsy. Mm. I got dropped home afterwards, and I was like, I wasn't drunk, but I was very tipsy and kind of stumbled up the stairs and made a bit of a noise, and my mum's like going, oh, you know, like get to bed type of thing. And then the next morning she's obviously strong-armed my dad, and he's had to kind of do the talk. And he's like, oh, so you had a few drinks last night, did you? I'm like, oh, just a couple, you know, I was just a little bit tipsy. And he's like, oh, so what were you drinking? And I said, oh, Cooper's Stout, because I think that was the only thing that they'd kind of give to the underage girl or the underage people, you know, is just the leftover stuff. It was usually the strong bowl or the stuff that no one else wanted to drink. And it was like, and my dad was a big Cooper's drinker, so he was like, good girl, good girl. It was probably once I was over 18 that I got messy and, had regrets.
My experience was very different. And please don't follow in my footsteps. I'd skip school with a bunch of friends and we'd get a goon sack and...
Cask wine for those who are in Australia.
Cask wine.
And we'd grab Hungry Jack's cups and ice and basically just fill them all up with goon and sit down in a park. Get shit-faced, I mean, get really drunk, and head back to school afterwards. My entire school experience was getting drunk or high without teachers really realising.
I think I was very well-behaved. But in high school, because we were such a distance away from anything, and, you know, we had a school uniform, so, like, I mean, you couldn't just wander off school property because you would stand out like a sore thumb you'd have to walk a couple of k's to get to the main street. So it'd be like, we're going to skip this class. And I'm like, so what are you going to do? Oh, we just hide in the change rooms for like a lesson. And I'm like, that sounds awful. So I'm like, I'd rather sit in class and do nothing.
Known students to do that, just hide in the toilets or something. I'm like, that's boring. Sit on the roof.
Where we were, really, you couldn't just go out somewhere. You couldn't leave the school premises. You'd have to hide somewhere. And I'm like, I can bludge in class. I'm not going to sit in a stinky change room.
I was in the Adelaide equivalent of Hogwarts. I'd be investigating all the secret tunnels and all sorts of strange places. Old buildings.
When you're in the city, you're in the suburbs. You could kind of just go off campus and wander off down the street or go to the local HJs or something.
I was in Woodville, so we were in the burbs, but we still caught trains in and got as far away from Woodville as possible. And then we just tell people we were year 12s. Don't know how that worked out when we were in year 8.
So we were a K away from the main street of Tanunda, so it was like, you know, you had to kind of walk through vineyards and paddocks to be able to get off the school grounds anyway. And then you go to the main street. So,
so it's when you find like a really decent spot to chill out and you BYO and then just hang out.
So Lisa, what did you think of Clone High then?
I really liked it, but like you guys said, it goes back to another era, doesn't it? Yeah, I could relate a little bit to Freaks and Geeks and some of those high school type shows. What was the movies that came out around that time? Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all of those types of TV shows and movies that were all really big around that era. But there's things about it that I really liked. I don't know, they referenced both that episode and the next episode as a very special episode.
Yeah.
So I was like, I love when they do a very special episode.
All of them are a very special episode.
Yes!
Every single one.
Yeah. Comedy or Die, for some reason they keep coming up on my Facebook, I think probably because I keep watching them, but there's a series on Comedy or Die that's like a very special episode and it takes all of those very special episodes and recaps them and it's hilarious because some of them are just so ridiculous. And I love that part of it. I also love a lot of the cred with the voice actors, like Will Forte. That must have been before he became big. He was on Saturday Night Live for ages, and then now he's gone on and he does movies and TV shows and things like that. Nicole Sullivan, who was Joan of Arc, she was from Mad TV. The guy who played Gundy, Michael McDonald, was from Mad TV, probably from that era. And then, yeah, like you said, a lot of the voices from Scrubs, because I think this came out, well, you said it took them a few years for them to get it out.
Yes, so I think they came
so there was an overlap with
in
Scrubs.
In the wiki that I was reading, they came up with the idea or concept in like 1998 or 1999, and then they were trying to get it done. The first place they went to was a no. The next place was Foxtel MTV, and they said yes and then no. And then they got picked up in 2002 by cable TV. Which was Fox MTV anyway, so
there's a lot of voices from Scrubs, but I think because it took them so many years to get it up and running that by the time it did come out, it came out the year after Scrubs started, so they would have just gone, all of these big names that are all starting to kind of become big through Scrubs, let's get them as voices on our new TV show.
And they get a lot of special guests through Manson, Jack Black,
so it wasn't a fake voice.
No, that was definitely Manson. Before he became an issue.
He was always an issue, but everyone just kind of
ignored it because
they thought it was pretend, and no, he was actually completely problematic.
Well, he was pretty good, like with his music writing and stuff, especially at that point in time. It was like, help your parents, take out the trash, do good stuff. It was never like bad satanic sort of stuff. It was very funny when parents would complain about it. I think it was specifically made for that reason.
Yeah.
So what, like, we listened to it a lot, but yeah.
But I liked it. I thought it was really good. I think I would have loved it more when it came out because it would have been more my era.
Yeah.
But I can totally see the nostalgic value of what they're doing and how they did it. I can see why people would have been funny about Gandhi, but they made it extremely clear that it was like, I want to be like what I've been cloned as, but I'm not. I'm myself. And
so this is what was really annoying is, like, you can definitely see the line drawn where Gandhi's like, yeah, like you said, I want to be this, but I can't because
I'd never be able to live up
to that pressure.
And it's a nature versus nurture thing.
That's literally all they're doing with all the clones and stuff is, like, I'm pushed in this direction because of my two gay dads.
Yes.
Like, I have to be extra macho, even though that is completely unrealistic of what it actually is to have two gay parents. It's trying to push those stereotypes, and some of them can be hurtful and some of them aren't. And so I'm worried about this series, the two series is coming out.
Coming up,
Because
2000,
some of the stuff they do in this, it would not hold up today.
Yeah.
It just, it flat out wouldn't. And I'm worried that the cult following that they're getting is literally like a, Oh, remember back in the 90s where you could take the piss out of someone because they were gay or something?
Yeah.
Like,
People are just so, you know, but it's political correctness gone wrong.
Everyone's got a woke agenda.
You can't joke about anything anymore.
Yeah.
Were there any complaints in the US about the depiction of JFK?
Oh, I think everyone knew what JFK was actually like.
No, I don't think there were.
They do put him on a pedestal all the same.
There was a small group in Canada that ran a petition to stop them from revamping the series because Gandhi hypothetically was going to be in it, and they thought that was offensive. Completely fair. I mean, that
and
is
and so they
fair.
Could just they could cut Gandhi and put another character in there.
So if they do redo the series, it's I'm wondering if it's going to be just like a reboot, because no one will remember that. That was literally 20 years ago.
They'd probably be rebooting
it.
If it was a reboot and they picked it up again, I wouldn't mind seeing all the old clones that we saw and see them being their actual selves and being like, genetically, we were always going to end up like this.
Because they're now grown up.
Because then that would allow them to actually take the mickey out of newer clones and stuff like that. And it might create a bit more space for them to actually play in that area without people automatically getting offended.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought Cleopatra, Joan of Arc were, because they're iconic, but they're dead over 1,000 years.
They're not going to upset anyone.
Yeah, and it's not going to upset anyone. Seriously. Yeah. And there's people you can... I mean, I think Abraham Lincoln you can make fun of. It's
Depends. Yeah.
Some Americans are very, you know...
Yeah, I know.
There's an episode in this that's like at the very end, and Abraham Lincoln's looking at another wax model of Abraham Lincoln going, what was going through your head at the time? And it's in the theatre where he's about to get shot. Yeah. It's just that joke, and you're like, that was good.
I love some of the clever stuff as well, where they had the Elvis twins, and one was the thin Elvis and the other one was the heavy Elvis. And it's like, oh, it's a peanut butter and bacon sandwich and a drink bottle full of tranquilizers, and the other one's eating healthy and is really fit. And I'm like, that was very clever.
There was some very clever stuff.
So
they're rebooting. I guess they think that it's going to hit modern audiences quite well.
And they've probably got more of the clout, like the team that did it. I mean, you're talking about Lord and Miller and Bill Lawrence. They've all gone on. Yeah. They've got very established careers. Yeah. And it's interesting sometimes when they go back and go, yeah, well, there was this thing that we did 20 years ago, but everyone just kind of fopped it off. But now we can get, we can go back and do it and actually get the funding that we wanted and get the publicity that the marketing wanted.
Which means it must be
one
of their favourites as
That's it.
So, my interesting thing would be that you said that they went on to do Into the Spideyverse. So I have high hopes that this will actually be good when it comes out. It'll have the whole audience side of going, oh, they've got a woke agenda now. Yeah. Clone High was never this woke. But I think it...
You get that with anything now.
Anything that gets rebooted in a good light.
I was sad about Doctor Who. I mean, there's no clues to what.
And things need to evolve. Things need to change. And things need to be... And, you know, it's that thing you go, oh, like, political correctness gone mad. And it's like, I think we discussed this in previous episodes. It's like, political correctness gone mad. And it's like, what? Because it was okay to be completely racist and homophobic and ableist and everything. Thing, you know, like that was fine back then, was it? It wasn't fine then, and it's not fine now.
Difference is that you get more flack for doing that now than you do before. That's the only difference.
Well, but then again, you also get social media to deliver that flack.
You also, when you emphasize other things, you also get flack for, you know, showing stuff like, say, having a lot of animated shows that have queer relationships and then you get cancelled.
Yeah. One of Kenzie's shows that she really likes, that's one of the main characters, has got two dads, and we watched the live action version or the movie version, I think, and I'm like going, that character's got two dads. Do they usually have two dads? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
What show was it?
Madhouse.
Mm. What's a mum and a dad?
No, no, but what's Lincoln's best mate?
Oh, yeah. Dad, two dads.
Yeah.
It's one child with two dads.
Yeah.
And it's very loved.
He's very, and exactly. Yes. And that's the takeaway that my child gets from it, is not any kind of agenda or political correctness go mad. He's very loved.
And of course, on the flip side, there are probably people complaining that they need to have not gayness in because that's, even though they're the ones offended by it.
It's normalising that stuff.
And it's just no big deal.
No, it should be normal. We should
Exactly. Yeah. It's not let me see, because it shouldn't be normal. It's got an agenda.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. They don't want it to be normal.
But there's no agenda when it's done. No. It's just, I kind of noticed in the background, and she's like, yeah, like then. Like, she just went, who? No, not the main character. And I'm like, no, he's my, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's
exactly how it should be.
Because it's not the main character's mum and dad. It's actually the main character's friend. Yeah. Lincoln's friend.
Yeah. I have a lot of hope for Next Generation, purely because they're normalising stuff so well.
Which needs to be
nice. I'm just hoping that the political environment doesn't snuff it out.
I reckon we'll hit anarchy by the time they hit 18. Like, in all seriousness, the current generation that's hitting 18, like, are those, I believe it's quote-unquote Zoomers, they're holding people very accountable for the things that they do wrong. Like,
is coming back in 2023, apparently.
Yeah.
Two seasons.
HBO. We've seen bad reboots. We've seen plenty of bad reboots, but we've also seen reboots done right. Yeah. And all we can do is hope that they do it right.
Animaniacs. Rocco was a very good reboot.
Yeah. I tried to get you back on to Rocco's Modern Life. She wasn't interested. It's on Paramount Plus. The new one and the old one, I think.
I'm actually keen. Talking about reboots and stuff, it's going to come up eventually. I am keen to see a reboot of Harry Potter.
Ah.
Because I want to see them take the world and make it better.
Yeah.
So after JK dies and someone goes, you know what, let's improve on the...
Slavery and racism and stuff. I'm still keen to see that. I think that would be a really cool reboot.
Well, maybe just have a universe that's like that, but better and nothing to do with all this.
They tried to do that. Well. What was that? There was the School of Good and Evil or something?
We watched that the other night.
Awful.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. School of Good and Evil that we watched the other night?
Yeah. I would say it's pretty good.
It's a chick. Flick.
She liked it, but she's 8, so...
Yeah. It had, like, a cute ending, I guess, in a way, and it had cute vibes to it, but...
It had good... It tried, but it also, to me, I go, if you wanted to watch something like School of Good and Evil, watch Descendants, because they're both as naff as each other, but Descendants probably... walk away feeling a bit better with Descendants. But they sing and dance in Descendants,
too. There are a couple of real, like, C-grade, I'm going to say, like, TV shows when I was growing up. On ABC and stuff, there were like Witch Academy and Wizard Witch Academy.
The Worst Witch.
Yeah. All of them were just so. Still doing it.
Discovery of Witches. It wasn't great. I sat through 2 seasons and then went,
are you talking about a historical doco?
No. Discovery of Witches. It's made by the people that went on to make Historic Materials.
Okay.
Bad Wolf Productions.
Yeah, that's fine. What is it?
It's a adaptation of a set of fantasy novels.
Okay.
With a witch falling in love with a vampire and...
Okay.
I love the alternative world.
But the story at the heart of it was just...
Even the story at the heart of it wasn't so much the problem. It's that
the characters.
Casting, actually the main character, could not act. Badly cast. She's supposed to be an academic and you're just going, no, this woman is not. Not an academic.
Hot girl wearing glasses.
Is the premise of Legally Blonde. I'm sorry, you can't diss a hot girl with glasses. They end up being
treated her like she was a bimbo, but she was actually really smart. We're talking about they've cast someone who's supposed to be smart, but it's not. It's
convincing.
Yeah.
And the relationship is not convincing.
They go, how do we make her look brainy? Let's put glasses on her.
That's a classic 90s.
Yeah.
There's aspects of the story I really liked, enough to get me to watch 2 series, but
grabbed Anne Hathaway, tussled her hair and put glasses on her and thought that was going to pass.
Oh, Princess Diaries.
Something you've seen, not another teen movie?
No.
Oh, just a gag.
Oh, yeah, I watched that one, but I don't think I watched many of the other ones afterwards.
Yeah, they all come afterwards. Yeah. They just had the joke of the main actress playing the character, and so we need to give her a makeover, so just remove the glasses and remove the ponytail.
And done.
Yeah.
Clone High takes the Mickey out of makeover episodes as well.
Yes!
Cleo goes, right, it's time for a makeover. Let's do it. And she goes through multiple different makeovers throughout the episode, but I think Cleo's makeover is probably the most telling. She gets fishnets, a short asymmetrical skirt, boob tube. She has like tussled, ruffled hair, and then she's got massive red lips and like really purple eyeshadow and stuff. Comes out with feather boa around the wrists and then goes, hi, and Abe finally notices her and she just looks like a tramp.
Yeah.
Oh, Joan.
Yeah, Joan of Arc. She just looks... Cleo. Sorry, yeah. Cleo does that makeover to Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
And then Abe goes, oh, you look like an angel.
No!
It's the Grease episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
So oh my god, the message in that film.
Oh, so I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Grease either for that reason. I remember watching it when I was a kid, and my babysitter going, "You know, they end up getting divorced." And I'm like, "How do you know that?" Like, it's like, no, that was just always the thing because you just go, "There's just so much wrong about this whole storyline."
Mm,
yeah,
exactly.
If you want someone to like you, just change everything about you.
Yeah. And look sexy and play to their game.
Yeah, the whole message.
And then you do that and you wonder why you can't find someone that will like you for who you are.
Yeah, that's it.
Be your own person and then you flirt with someone during D&D and then you
I need to make notes. Okay. Which was D&D? Any specific D&D?
Just any type. Make sure that you're the person getting picked on as well.
Okay.
Really works.
Easy.
So that you can be like, oh, please help me, good-looking person. That looks like you're under the age of 18, but really you're in your 20s. I trust this will be edited out, but if not, it's still funny.
A very special short episode. What did you think of it, Kenzie?
I would say it's pretty good.
How did you find it? Did you watch much of it?
Yeah.
Were you actually facing the screen?
No. She watched it with the eyes in the back of her head.
What was your favourite bit then?
My favourite bit was at the start.
Before you turned around and started
watching
it.
Was it the booby joke? Okay, glad that was missed.
Yeah.
Justin, what did you think?
Oh, well, it's not my thing. It's not really aimed at me, but I guess it was a version of, was it that?
Daria.
A bit of Daria.
Yeah.
Less female-powered.
Yeah. It didn't quite capture me, but it's not the kind of thing I would normally watch, but it was okay.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I don't think I would continue watching a series of it or anything like that. But
But Justin, there's two more coming out.
And I kind of like it when we're not all agreed.
Yeah.
Nice. We have these ones where everyone loves it.
Yeah.
Or like last episode, or one of the last episodes where everyone hated it, you know.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Do not. When we're talking, looking back over the shows of the year, we all had different favourites, different ones we liked and disliked, and that made it really interesting.
Yes.
I was listening to that last night.
It's interesting because you talked about real worldness, and real worldness for me is actually a turn off. In a show, so
real worldness, but more realism. So it's not just a complete gag fest.
I'm doing things like I'm looking at the premise and going, "Oh, clones! Yes, that's interesting."
you thought you were going to be watching something completely different.
No, I knew what I was getting in for, but I'm looking at the storyline and those kinds of things and going,
"I would not get hooked up on the storyline for an episode."
You were wanting more of that side plot with the principal.
I want to see what the principal's up to.
Well, there is more of that. That is probably the most continuous plot line of them all.
That's the only narrative stream. The only narrative together.
Yeah.
Is the principal. And the shadowy organisation.
That sounds like. That sounds like my part of the story.
Yeah.
Do they get into that? Do they talk
a little bit?
Yeah.
It actually ends with fixing that situation.
Okay.
Yeah, fixing.
So, Angus, what food?
I don't even know on this one. This is just kind of a mess.
Not the bottle of amphetamines
or the tranquilizers.
A cake of non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
That bad.
I'd be going with that.
That's become the new thing, at the moment. You go to the shops and you go places, and there's all of this range of non-alcoholic gin, and I'm just like, I don't get it.
Non-alcoholic stuff, but then again, I also like decaffeinated coffee too.
I don't like flavour. Yeah, I don't like beer, and I don't like the flavour of coffee. so non-alcoholic beer and decaffeinated coffee feels like television with no screen. It's like, why?
Well, I am a bit of like a a flavour, not like a foodie, but also a foodie sort of person. So I'm really heartbroken that I'm now gluten intolerant and can't have onions and garlic and stuff. But I enjoy like flavours of stuff. And so you can cook with gin. And maybe if you don't want to add the alcohol to it or something like that, I can understand why you'd want to go with non-alcoholic gin. Also, it does add a little bit of flavour to things that you don't really notice is there. It's that like bitter undertone and stuff like that. That drier flavour, and slow gin adds like a really nice sweet berry kind of thing to it. So there's a lot of good side to non-alcoholic stuff. I'm so sorry, I rambled.
No,
I love it.
We've got Mackenzie drawing here. What are you drawing, Mackenzie? What's that?
Green hair? Is it like
it's Fiona? A woman with green hair.
Do you want green hair? Got green hair dye too, so.
The green hair dye didn't work.
So what are we doing next episode? Whose turn is it?
It's Angus's or Alex's.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
No idea. Angus, do you have any idea?
I was going to do... I did Tintin last year, but the other one I was going to do was Good Life.
Oh, yes!
Oh, Good Life.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to pick out an episode from that, I think.
I think it's quite relevant now.
Yeah, so it's kind of a bunch of people basically quitting their day job and becoming kind of self-supportive with growing gardens and stuff, growing vegetable in
and
their backyard.
And I think that's the thing, it was, they
Tom
were
Good
so...
Tom Good and Barbara. Tom Barbara Good.
Yeah.
Penelope Keith
and Felicity Kendall, and who's one of some of the other ones?
Richard
who
were
the
Wise.
Guys? That's it, Richard. He used to do everything with Penelope Keith, didn't he?
He did a few things.
Yeah.
Paul Eddington.
Yeah. And it's funny because that would have been, what, early 80s? Late 70s? In the 70s. And back then that was very, like, alternative lifestyle. Yeah.
Okay, that was the classic cult TV club, watching Clone High.
I want to kind of pick up that reboot when it comes out. I'd be really interested to see if they reboot it as a teen high school show, knowing that all of the people who made it are now... 20 years older.
Yeah.
And they probably weren't young. I think what they made it out of film school. So they weren't teenagers, but they were a lot closer to teenagers. Mm. Now it's like 30 years since they were in high school. And then running a show about high school.
And also running a show about high school as high school was in the 90s. But high school today. What would that be is so alienating to kids today?
Exactly. They just wouldn't even be able to relate.
Probably not. Yeah, because it's so different. It's so different. Yeah.
Or maybe they've got kids or something that they can draw experiences from.
And the kids will just troll the writers by saying stuff that isn't true.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yes.
Of course, it would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.